Second part of the second part, question 20, despair. Article 3, whether despair is the greatest of sins. An incurable sin seems to be the most grievous. According to Jeremiah 30:12, thy bruise is incurable, thy wound is very grievous. Now the sin of despair is incurable, according to Jeremiah 15:18, my wound is desperate so as to refuse to be healed. Therefore, despair is a most grievous sin. Those sins which are contrary to the theological virtues are in themselves more grievous than others, because since the theological virtues have God for their object, the sins which are opposed to them imply aversion from God, directly and principally. Now every mortal sin takes its principal malice and gravity from the fact of its turning away from God. For if it were possible to turn to a mutable good, even inordinately, without turning away from God, it would not be a mortal sin. Consequently, a sin which, first and of its very nature, includes aversion from God, is most grievous among mortal sins. Now unbelief, despair, and hatred of God are opposed to the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. And among them, if we compare hatred of God and unbelief to despair, we shall find that in themselves, that is, in respect of their proper species, they are more grievous. For unbelief is due to a man not believing God's own truth, while the hatred of God arises from man's will being opposed to God's goodness in itself, whereas despair consists in a man ceasing to hope for a share of God's goodness. Hence it is clear that unbelief and hatred of God are against God as he is in himself, while despair is against him according as his good is partaken of by us. Wherefore, strictly speaking, it is a more grievous sin to disbelieve God's truth or to hate God than not to hope to receive glory from him, which is despair. If, however, despair be compared to the other two sins from our point of view, then despair is more dangerous, since hope withdraws us from evils and induces us to seek for good things, so that when hope is given up, men rush headlong into sin and are drawn away from good works. Wherefore a commentary on Proverbs 24:10, if thou lose hope, being weary in the day of distress, thy strength shall be diminished, says, nothing is more hateful than despair, for the man that has it loses his constancy both in the everyday toils of his life and, what is worse, in the battle of faith. And St. Isidore says, to commit a crime is to kill the soul, but to despair is to fall into hell. St. Thomas considers this explanation to be sufficient for the following three objections. Objection 1. It would seem that despair is not the greatest of sins, for there can be despair without unbelief. But unbelief is the greatest of sins because it overthrows the foundation of the spiritual edifice. Therefore, despair is not the greatest of sins. Second objection. A greater evil is opposed to a greater good, as Aristotle states. But charity is greater than hope, according to 1 Corinthians 13:13. Therefore, hatred of God is a greater sin than despair. Third objection. In the sin of despair, there is nothing but inordinate aversion from God, whereas in other sins, there is not only inordinate aversion from God, but also an inordinate converting to something else. Therefore, the sin of despair is not more, but less grave than other sins. Article 4. Whether despair arises from sloth. The object of hope is a good, difficult, but possible to obtain by oneself or by another. Consequently, the hope of obtaining happiness may be lacking in a person in two ways. First, through his not deeming it an arduous good. Secondly, through his deeming it impossible to obtain either by himself or by another. Now, the fact that spiritual goods taste good to us no more, or seem to be goods of no great account, is chiefly due to our affections being infected with the love of bodily pleasures, among which sexual pleasures hold the first place. For the love of those pleasures leads man to have a distaste for spiritual things, and not to hope for them as arduous goods. In this way, despair is caused by lust. On the other hand, the fact that a man deems an arduous good impossible to obtain, either by himself or by another, is due to his being overly downcast, because when this state of mind dominates his affections, it seems to him that he will never be able to rise to any good. And since sloth is a sadness that casts down the spirit, in this way despair is born of sloth. Now this is the proper object of hope, that the thing is possible, because the good and the arduous regard other passions also. Hence despair is born of sloth in a particular way, though it also may arise from lust for the reason given above. St. Thomas considers this explanation to be sufficient response for the first objection. Second objection. Just as despair is contrary to hope, so is sloth contrary to spiritual joy. But spiritual joy arises from hope, according to Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope. Therefore, sloth arises from despair, and not vice versa. reply to the second objection. According to Aristotle, just as hope gives rise to joy, so when a man is joyful, he has greater hope. And accordingly, those who are sorrowful fall the more easily into despair, according to 2 Corinthians 2:7, lest such a one be swallowed up by overmuch sorrow. Yet since the object of hope is good, to which the appetite tends naturally, and which it shuns not naturally but only on account of some supervening obstacle, it follows that, more directly, hope gives birth to joy, while on the contrary, despair is born of sorrow. Third objection. Contrary effects have contrary causes. Now hope, the contrary of which is despair, seems to proceed from the consideration of divine favors, especially the incarnation. For St. Augustine says, "Nothing was so necessary to raise our hope than that we should be shown how much God loves us. Now what greater proof could we have of this than that God's Son should deign to unite himself to our nature?" Therefore, despair arises rather from the neglect of the above consideration than from sloth. Reply to the third objection. This very neglect to consider the divine favors arises from sloth. For when a man is influenced by a certain passion, he considers chiefly the things which pertain to that passion, so that a man who is full of sorrow does not easily think of great and joyful things, but only of sad things, unless by a great effort he turn his thoughts away from sadness.